Thank you, and indeed that beautiful hymn couldn't have been chosen more appropriately this night, for it ties in with what I want to present, this old, old path. A little earlier this afternoon, I was thinking of the sermons that have been presented during our time of gathering together since Sunday evening. And I just want to briefly touch upon them, for they really tie together a lot more fully than anyone realizes. I thought of the opening sermon and the challenge that was held out to us. It was amazing. A responsibility to each and every one of us. And especially, he stressed those of the age 10 through 30. But he says the older ones can also listen, and the younger ones too. So really, I felt we each had a challenge held out to us, young and old alike. We must realize of our responsibility in our service to God. In it, we learned that we must learn to serve people. We learned that we should be in regular attendance at meetings. We also learned that we were to labor with all our heart, mind, and strength. In the next sermon, it tied around the importance of the Word of God in our life, that we should study to show ourselves approved, as a young man was admonished many years ago by the Apostle Paul. We were admonished to search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And I hope these things rang in your ears. Last night, we too heard a sermon of impact. It started by mentioning the importance of being humble. And I reached over to the person beside me and I said, "This is going to be an interesting sermon." I too felt directed to speak upon humility and humbleness. And so I listened carefully to our brother last night, but he really didn't undo anything that I had studied. In fact, I believe he kind of laid a nice groundwork. Little did he know he was doing that. And little do anybody else know, till I tell you now, that I was directed to put together a sermon of this nature about a month ago in my missionary field. I had a couple hours free one day, and I sat down and put together some thoughts. I don't have any great big amount of notes. You don't have to worry. But there's a lot on that page. Anyway, I put these together about a month ago, just in case I might be one of those chosen. We don't always know who's going to preach. Sometimes we do it differently. Sometimes I might be first, I might not preach at all. And this time I find myself in the last service of this conference. I have found myself in similar circumstances before, and see how the Lord had things in His hand a lot more than anybody really realized. We went through a few things of turmoil in this time of conference, but we also went through times when things went smoothly. Perhaps we were being tried one with another. But in all, I feel we're making progress. If you analyze things more carefully, I see progress. Maybe some aren't inclined to look for it, but it is there. We heard last night that God wants us to lay up treasures in heaven. He also stressed that Jesus is the bread of life. And we heard sung tonight in that beautiful special about the old, old path. And really, no matter what man might do, he couldn't lay down a better one than was laid down in the beginning. Seek out the old path. Where is the good way? There is no other place than that path. And you and I must learn to tread it more fully and more completely. We had challenges held out to us during this time of conference that I hope you don't forget. When you go your different ways, don't forget what you've heard. It is important. If you think you're going to forget, get one of those tapes, every one of them, and listen to them again. Because a challenge was held out there that I hope you don't forget. One of my great concerns about a month ago was for the people of this church and our responsibility to others as well outside the church. But I thought of the trying things we're living among. And as I travel in missionary travels, I see how complex and how difficult the lives of many have become. And my heart aches for the problems of people. My heart aches for them in their problems, would be a better wording. And I am concerned for them, and I truly care for these people, the same as I would care for my own kin. Even though my kin may be close to me, yet people, others, are close to me. These little children are close to me, and these little children know that I am close to them. And I become very concerned for the people and the things that are taking place. I also become concerned over some of the things that are happening in our day. In this world in which we live, there is much emphasis upon what? Upon self. 50 years ago, it wasn't that way. It wasn't nearly that way 25 years ago. But now, today, there's a lot of emphasis on self and the greatness of self. There's a lot of emphasis on becoming rich. There's a lot of emphasis on becoming great. There's a lot of emphasis on seeking power. And plenty on riches. But how much emphasis do you hear on humility and submission? And this is what I want to speak about tonight, because if you and I are going to meet the challenge that was presented Sunday evening and in the other two sermons, there must be a way. And it will not be by becoming proud and haughty and lifted up in pride. It will not be that way. Because great nations fell upon the face of this land many years ago. More than once they fell because they were lifted up in pride. And I don't want one to forget that tonight. And I want all to listen tonight to the words I say. As King Benjamin of old said, I speak to you, little children. I speak to you, old men and you young men. And you ladies, everyone, and you young people, I'm speaking to every one of you tonight, and I don't want a one of you to forget. Because I feel I got a responsibility placed upon me tonight to help you to be able to meet the challenge that has been presented to you. We've got to start pressing out with a greater effectiveness. What is going to be required of us is beyond our ability to even comprehend. But with God, all things are possible. And don't forget that. And I know of the greatness of God. I know of His power. I would like to turn now to a passage of Scripture found in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 5 through 7. And note these verses. Likewise, ye younger. Now, all you young ones in here, listen to this. You little children, listen to this. Submit yourselves unto the elder, or those who are older. Now, I want every one, the rest of you, to listen to this too. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Did you hear that? Did that leave any place for greatness or to be lifted up above your fellow man? It did not leave any. Be clothed with humility. It didn't say with greatness and pride, did it? It says with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So the way is outlined here. I want to lay another foundation tonight in harmony with the others of how we might better proceed. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And listen to this. It is a day of trial and problem. Now, I want the little children to listen to this, too. Sometimes I see they get interested in other things, and I might lose their attention, so I might point at you once in a while, because I want to remember. And you know something? I really enjoyed that song you sung tonight. That was nice. You keep it up. The rest of you, keep it up too. It's good. We like to hear these young voices, because tomorrow, down the road, you're going to be the ones that's grown up. See, I once was a little kid like you too, see? Long time ago. Well, don't forget this now. Now listen to this. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now we got somebody that cares for us. Now isn't that kind of nice? In a world that you could go down a street with the biggest burden in the world, and you might pass somebody and they couldn't care what you were or where you was going. But wouldn't it be nice if He just spoke to you and said, well, good morning, it's a nice day. Well, you know, you can change your whole attitude for the day of being kind to people. That is a way that we must not forget. I want to turn to another passage of Scripture. This is found in the 18th chapter of Matthew. Now you're going to hear me bring out a whole group of favorite scriptures. And like I say, I have no favorite one particularly. But I'm going to bring out some of the real plain teachings tonight. And I don't think anybody's going to have any trouble understanding them. And so I want us to think on this. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, and this is 18th chapter, verses 1 through 5, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, if I passed a little test paper out here and had you each write down, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I want you all to listen. And Jesus took a little child and sat in their midst. Now, you know who asked this question? His apostles and His disciples asked that question, thinking maybe they say, well, you really served the Lord, this apostle did. You're the greatest. Oh, that would really stroke a person's ego, you know, real quick, you know. But Jesus surprised them. He took a little child and set this little child in their midst. And then He said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not even enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you have any trouble understanding that, any of you? There is the way. And then He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we must humble ourselves as our little children. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now I copied down a little definition of the word humble. I want us to listen. Modest or meek in spirit or manner. Are you modest or meek in your manner or in spirit? That's what a humble person is. And it says, not proud. You have any trouble understanding that? Expressing a spirit of submission. Low in rank or estate. I've stressed somewhat the importance of humility. I'd like to turn to the Book of Mormon, Alma, the 5th chapter, and I'd like to turn to verse 34. This is found on page 325. I feel these are important words that Alma stressed here. And he looked at a group of people, and I think this must have been a nice experience. It must have caused joy in his heart. Because here was a people, according to a verse on down that I'll shortly read, who followed his commandments, who followed his admonitions to them. And he had this to say, yea, I perceive, or I know that you're making his path straight. I perceive that it has been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths. So Jesus don't walk in crooked paths. Remember that. He walks in a straight path. We heard sung about the old path. It is a straight path that leads to the tree of life. And that tree of life is a representation of the love of God. And I want you to listen to this. Neither doth he vary from that which he has said. He don't have to have a new set of rules for today. He laid down rules that never need changing. Just because we have different circumstances today, we don't need new rules. The rules are there. Neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, nor from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round. And going down to verse 39 and 40, and I hope you each make a mental note of these verses. I find so much contained in them that is required of us, of the type of people we should be. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. And I really don't know where I could go and find a verse with any more requirements of it than that verse. A lot is there. You follow that verse and your life will be changed. Humility, temperance, submission, keeping the commandments of God in Christ. Asking for whatsoever things ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, and always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things you do receive. So not only do we ask, we thank Him. And then it tells us to see that you have faith, hope, and charity, that you may always abound in good works. And I'd just like to skip down to the last two verses. And as Alma said to these his brethren, and I kind of like what he said, "And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit which testifieth in me. And my soul doth exceeding rejoice because of the exceeding diligence and heed which you have given unto my word." Now, when we come back next year at conference, I hope that we might have given more exceeding diligence to the words that have been brought out during our time of gathering together in these sermons. I hope we might have done that. "And now may the peace of God rest upon you," he told those people of old, "and upon your houses and your lands and upon your flocks and your herds and upon all that you possess." And note this, "upon your women and your children, according to your faith and good works from this time henceforth and forever. And thus have I spoken." So it shows he pronounced a wonderful thing upon them, but it still hinged upon their faith and good works. So don't forget the importance of good works in your lives. Don't forget the importance of faith, because man does live by faith. There is a scripture that says we can't even please him without faith. So it is important. What a beautiful thing this is that God has outlined for us. In the teachings of Jesus in the 11th chapter of Matthew, and I won't turn to that one, but it's found in verses 29 and 30. And you who know me already know what I'm going to say, and others have said it during this time of conference, so you will hear it again. But I hope you never tire when Jesus said to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And I want to go back and enlarge upon that statement a little more fully. In days of old, as they had oxen, they put a yoke on two oxen to make them go in the same direction, so they'd pull together. And we're told to take upon us the yoke of Jesus, that we might go as he went. We were admonished to learn. He said, "Learn of me." And the scriptures are there. There is those in the book of Nephi, it says, "Feast upon the words of Jesus, for they will tell you all things what you should do." It is important that we feast upon his words. And he is meek and lowly in heart. That is the type of people he wants us to be. Those who are humble in attitude. Those who are willing to serve him and keep his commandments. I'd like to turn to 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, verses 52 through 56. And this is found on page 636. In the sermon last night, you heard a bit of this. But very little am I going to requote or reread that we heard. But I feel it is important that I bring it to your attention. Verse 52, "And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It didn't say the proud and the haughty. I want to turn, before I read further there, to the 37th Psalm, verses 10 through 11, because it fits so well. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, I find that kind of nice. Delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Going back to page 636 and verse 53, and blessed are all those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not hunger and thirst after the things of the flesh, but after righteousness. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, wouldn't that kind of be kind of nice, young and old alike, to be a child of God? It said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I want us to think upon that and ponder upon it. I have another, and I'd like to read in 3 Nephi, the third chapter. And this is found on page 618. And it's in verses 10 through 16. It came to pass in the 29th year, there began to be disputing among the people. And all too often, there is disputings among the people that causes a lot of problems and stress. And some were lifted up into pride and boastings. And I want you to note, here is a people who were proud and boasted because of their exceeding great riches, yea, even unto persecutions. And they were doing this because of their great riches. For there were many merchants in the land, and also many lawyers and many officers. And I don't know whether you thought as I read that particular verse, how close it parallels our day. I think maybe that microphone there is causing us some noise when you touch it. And the people began to be distinguished in ranks according to their riches and their chances for learning. Yea, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others did receive great learning because of their riches. Some were lifted up in pride, and others were exceeding humble. Some did return railing for railing, while others would receive railing and persecution and all manner of afflictions. Here were a people, some who gave railing for railing, and others were willing to accept it and suffer all manner of persecution. And would not turn and revile again, but were humble and penitent before God. And thus there began to be a great inequality in all the land, insomuch that the church began to be broken up. Yea, insomuch that in the 30th year the church was broken up in the land, save it were among a few of the Lamanites who were converted unto the true faith. And they would not depart from it, for they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of God. And that is a vital thing in our individual lives, that we should always be willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of God. I would like to turn to some of Paul's teachings. This is found in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verses 1 and 2. He had this to say, "This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." And I won't read the rest of this reading. It is all good. But the part I really wanted to be concerned about, a peril is a dangerous situation. And it's something that we need to consider. And the peril of the last day was that men would be lovers of their own self. And a lot of the philosophies of our day teaches that very thing. It teaches greatness. It teaches being lifted up. It teaches how important self really is. And as I mentioned early, it don't leave room for humility and submission to the Holy Spirit. They would be coveters and boasters and proud. And I thought of a statement a couple of years ago as I traveled. And I heard this concerning one of the evangelists of our day, a prominent television speaker. And he stressed the importance of people having wealth and fine cars and fine homes, and that God really wants us all to have all these things. And then he went on to say that he purchased the biggest, finest, best car he could find. And he says, "If I ever find a bigger, better one, I will purchase that." As I thought of that this afternoon, I thought of a little humorous thing. But can you really imagine Brother McIndoo and Brother Moser going into Yucatan in a Rolls Royce? Can you really imagine it? Can you imagine the impact it would have on those humble brothers and sisters there? It really isn't the way. I thought, too, of a little poem that I read years ago, and I don't recall all of it, but it was entitled, "The Parish Preacher Who Really Wanted to Get Closer to God." So daily he climbed up into the spire of the church and he prayed day after day, year after year. And after a while it said he grew old and he knew he was getting feeble and he knew he didn't have much time left. And so he cried out in anxiety, "Where art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm down here among my people." And I think some of you may have read this old poem, and I only briefly stated it, but I haven't forgotten it. We must be a humble people if we're going to meet the challenge that is before us. And it can't be one of lovers of oneself. Paul said that that would be one of the perils of the last days. And so how careful you and I must be. Another one of the philosophies of our day is to teach the importance of riches. And some of these even have books that you can think and grow rich by reading the books. Some are entitled that way. The thing is, a lot of these things work. A lot of wealthy people who have read these books. There's a lot of people who have followed this new type of learning entitled super learning. And the thing you know, it does work. But again, this philosophy come out of communist type. A lot of these philosophies of our day are very, very dangerous. I would like to read from the book of Colossians, the second chapter, and the 8th verse. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, at the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So there's a lot of ways outlined to give men riches and power and glory and prestige. But we must carefully consider this statement. Beware if they're not after Christ. A lot teach against Christ. Even some of these Middle East religions can come into our schools under the guise of science and be taught, wherein the Christian religion could not even be considered. And as I traveled here a couple of weeks ago, a little over, I heard a statement somewhere in the East of a young boy in a class who took a little New Testament, and in his free time, in other words, when they weren't studying, it was time that wasn't detracting from study or anything. It was free time, like recess or something like this. He read his little Bible. But the teacher stopped him from reading it. So he went to the principal, and the principal supported the teacher. And so I hear now there's some type of a lawsuit or something like this. But where it will go, who knows? So even your free time, you can be stopped from doing that which you really would like to do. We are in a strange world. The rulers and forces of evil are ever about us. How careful we each must be. We must unite our forces and have a greater oneness among us if we have hopes for survival. If we have hopes for meeting the challenge that had been presented, there's a great task before us. If we humble ourselves and keep the commandments of Jesus Christ and God, we are able. But we must not be lifted up in our own abilities. I'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians. This is found in the 5th chapter. And I'd like to start reading with verse 6. And listen to this closely. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So let no man deceive you with vain words. You know Moroni of old, or in the book of Moroni rather, in the 7th chapter on page 365, there is a statement that harmonizes with this particular reading that I would like to turn to. Verses 17 and 18. And now, my beloved brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, save that ye do not judge wrongfully. For with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. Reading on in this particular reading, he told these people in verse 8 in Ephesians 5, "For ye were sometimes darkness," speaking to the people of Ephesus. They walked in the dark. They were idol worshipers. They worshipped the thing of man and the things of the flesh. They were converted into the gospel of Jesus Christ. They kept the commandments of Jesus Christ. And he said, "For ye were sometimes darkness," and then he stressed something that they must do. "But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as the children of light." That is the way they were to walk. That is the way you and I are to walk. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For ever about us is the enticings of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pull of the flesh, the pull of riches, and all these things. So how important it is that we serve Him more closely, more humbly, and more patiently." And we know the fruit of the Spirit is beautiful. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. And it lists several others there. And we're also admonished, if we live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. This is a way that you and I should walk. I would like to turn to the book of Jacob, the second chapter, on page 170. And I'd like to read verses 22 through 24. And I want you to note here how different this is from the way the world does things. It says, "Think of your brethren like unto yourselves." You don't lift up yourself above somebody else. You don't think of yourself more highly than your fellow man. Because it says, "Think of your brethren like unto yourselves. And be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before you seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God." Now, is that way outlined plain or is it not? Before we seek for riches, we seek for the kingdom of God. "And after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them, and ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted." Now you note here, there is some things laid out rather carefully and rather well. Before we seek for riches, we're to seek the kingdom of God. But then it says, after you have obtained that, then if you seek for riches, you shall obtain them. It didn't say you had to seek for them. But if you do seek them, you shall obtain them, and you will seek them for the intent of doing good, to help the hungry and the poor and the naked and such as this. That's a bit different than the way many seek their riches today, is it not? In the book of 4th Nephi, on page 681, at the bottom of the page, we find this statement. And it speaks of a time and how quick these people were converted unto the Lord. But we must not forget that the more wicked part of the people were destroyed at the crucifixion of Christ, and only the more righteous were preserved. And Jesus appeared to them in the ending of the 34th year, and in the 36th year, it says, all the people were converted unto the Lord upon the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. And there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. This was the type of people they become in an environment of freedom from contention and disputations. In verse 13, it goes on to say they did not walk any more at the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk at the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, and in the meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. I kind of like the way that's worded. They took responsibility. They walked at the commandments of Jesus Christ. They met together off. Verse 14. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land. I'm not going to stop there, because the next part of that sentence is important. But there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. Now I find this is plain. These mighty miracles that were wrought among the disciples of Jesus. Down in verse 17. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. That is why there was no contention. Because of the love of God that did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were envyings, and there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. These things are prominent in our society today. But these people, because they walked so closely to God and Jesus Christ and kept those commandments, none of these things were among them. It's hard for us to comprehend of a society that is totally free from this type of thing. But what a wonderful, blessed thing it would be. And it says on that they could not be a happier people than this. And there were no robbers, nor murderers, nor Lamanites, nor any manner of ites. But they were one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. They were one, in one, the children of Christ, and heirs of the kingdom of God. And I find that that is a nice statement. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered. And the rest of the verse goes on to some time elements that really aren't important. But this told how people of old functioned. I have another scripture I would like to read from the book of Ether. The fifth chapter is found on page 748. It's verses 28 through 31. I give unto men weakness. This comes back to the sermon last night of one who stood and felt very weak. But he felt all this was done that he might be humble. Let us read. That I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. We all are given these weakness that we may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves. before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will shew unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. And the way is outlined so plainly here. It is nice, is it not? And I, Moroni, having heard these words, was comforted, and said, O Lord, thy righteous will be done. For I know that thou workest unto the children of men according to their faith. For the brother of Jared said unto the mountain Zaron, removed, and it was removed. A mountain that moved. Now that's something, isn't it? And if he had not had faith, it would not have moved. Wherefore thou workest after men have faith, for thus did thou manifest thyself unto thy disciples. So I hope tonight that I might have outlined some things of responsibility that would harmonize with the preceding sermons, that would show the vitalness of humbling oneself, of keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ, and truly meeting the challenge that has been placed before us. I have one other verse, and then I will close. Verse 41. And now I would commend you to seek this Jesus of whom the prophets and apostles have written, that the grace of God, the Father, and also the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of them, may be and abide in you forever. Amen.